Our scripture reading this evening comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. May the Lord add his blessing to the ministry of his holy word. Amen.
We come to this evening to the final message in this short sermon series in the book of Ephesians. Let me begin by saying how thankful I am to have had the opportunity to prepare these messages and to preach them here in the Park Street Church pulpit. I am thankful to Dr. Fisher, who gave me this opportunity, and along with Dr. Paul E. Toms, who was his predecessor, recognized in the fellow ministers here along with himself that opportunity be given to exercise our gifts in preaching, and I'm thankful to Dr. Fisher for that, and you will be hearing the other ministers in the upcoming weeks and months, and we are thankful for every opportunity to preach the word. Some of you have been here for every message. I trust that they have been a help to you, but I want to say that they indeed have been a help to me. As I had occasion to study and prepare for these messages, they have been a great help and strengthening to me, and I'm thankful to God for his instruction in the quiet place as I prepared these messages week by week. I thank you for your encouragement and for your prayers as we brought these before you in these past 3 weeks. Now the message this evening is under the title, Remember Who the Enemy Is. Indeed, we do have a formidable enemy known as Satan, and he is desirous of destroying the work of God and destroying the servants of God and their effectiveness for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, as read by Reverend Kyler, the scripture in Ephesians 6 told us that we do not wrestle against beings, but we wrestle against the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this evil one, Satan, had a beginning that was good. He was in the heavenlies with God. He saw God and he walked with God. But a terrible thing happened to him, as is given to us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And I'm going to read a few verses so that you can see far back in history what happened on that fateful occasion when this angelic being allowed pride to well up in his heart. Isaiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. How have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, O morning star, son of dawn? You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. And then in the book of Ezekiel, it speaks also of this same being in chapter 28, beginning in verse 14, speaking of the angelic being, Lucifer, later to be Satan. He says, you were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. So I made a fire come out from you, and it consumed you, and I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. All the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. Oh, this terrible statement about this one who was an angelic being and who walked with God and who had great authority. But will you notice back in Isaiah, the first section I read, the beginning of his downfall. For five times in that section I just read, he said of himself, I. You see, his ego, his pride lifted him up. And he said, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Times have not really changed with evil, have they? Indeed, that is what we encounter in our own world today. It is the me first. It is what I want. It is what I want to do. I determine my own destiny. That same pride dwells in those who refuse to come under the authority of God and under His Word today. And it was that very pride. And then in what we read in Ezekiel, how that his pride lifted him up, the beauty of his countenance became his pride. His wisdom was confounded. In the great wisdom that he had, he allowed that to be distorted. And it said that he was cast down to the pit. And Ezekiel says, as God wrote, that he came to a horrible end. And it is true that all those who follow him, whether knowingly or unknowingly, through unbelief and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the world, those who follow him will also come to a horrible end. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has come to overcome Satan and sin and death and the grave. And we can have the victory in Christ. But those who refuse that shall come to the horrible end. Oh, my friend, this angelic being is a great and powerful being. Certainly not as powerful as God, but he is powerful. And he has great sway in the course of things that happen. I think of his cunningness and subtlety when he came to the Garden of Eden. And you'll recall when he came to Eve in a very subtle manner. And he said to her, "Hath God said?" He planted that doubt in her mind. Eve, who was in the perfect setting in the Garden of Eden with her husband Adam, she and her husband had knew no sin, were not given even a tendency to sin. And yet this powerful and prideful one that had been cast down out of heaven came to her questioning God. Surely God had said, but he said, "Hath God said?" Then God had said if they ate of this particular fruit, they would surely die. But Satan came and he says, "You shall not surely die. But when you eat, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And then Eve became enticed, and she listened to him, and his trickery enticed her so that she began to look at the fruit. And the scripture says, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it." John, writing in his epistle, said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And as we look here in the very beginning with Eve, you look what the scripture tells us. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, that appealed to the lust of the flesh. This is good. It's for something for me to have. Now, they had all the other fruit in the garden and everything was theirs. But God had said that they shall not eat of this particular fruit. But she saw that it was good for food and did not take into account what God had said. And so that's the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes, it says that Eve saw that it was pleasing to the eye. The lust of the eye. And she took it. And then it says that it was also desirable for gaining wisdom. The pride of life. The pride of life. And with those three things, Satan deceived her. And she took of the fruit, and she offered it to her husband Adam, and he took it. And at that moment, sin entered into the world, and death came into the world. And because of their sin, it passed upon all of us. And death came to all of us because of the sin of Adam. Oh, what havoc and destruction has been wrought through this celestial being, Satan. Now, Adam and Eve walked in the garden. They had great wisdom. They were far more wise and perfect than any of us who have been tainted with sin from the very beginning. And yet, his trickery was such that he deceived them. And remarkably, as you read the scripture, it seems in a very short time he did it. Eve hardly, there's no record that she resisted even. Oh, my friends, we have a formidable foe. Then I think of a tragic illustration in the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, it tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the night before he died, he had the disciples with him in the upper room, and he was instructing them, and they had the Last Supper. And in John chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, the evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. And Luke gives account of it with these words. Jesus said, he that sitteth at table with me has lifted up his hand against me. I often think about this and think how Judas was one of the 12, and he walked with Jesus throughout his ministry. He heard his teaching. He saw his miracles. He witnessed his compassion, his love, his humility. He touched him. For Jesus said in his high priestly prayer and praying to his Father, he says, all that you have given to me have come to me, and none are lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. My, if Judas could go so long with Jesus and not to be detected by the other disciples that he was not a genuine apostle. How is it for us, brethren, that we also, through the deception of Satan, could not be fooled? For Jesus himself said in many places in his parables that in his body there will be the sheep and the wolves. But he says we're not to make any determination, for he will make the determination at the last time. Or the wheat and the tares, he says, let them grow up together. And he says, I'll separate them at the last time. Oh, this evil one is destructive. He's powerful. But he is not equal to God. He does not have the attributes of God. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. God can do as he wishes, but Satan cannot. He is limited. You recall his confrontation with Job. He could only go so far with Job as God allowed him to go. God is omnipresent. That means he is everywhere at one time. Satan is not. He is only one person. Being though that he's an angelic being and powerful, he's still only one person. And he cannot be every place at one time. But he has a host of fallen angels like himself that do his work. And then he has others, as the scripture told us in Ephesians earlier, that Satan is working in the sons of disobedience. And Paul told Timothy regarding instructing people, he says, we instruct them gently that they'll come to repentance peradventure, that they will be turned from their sins and be taken out of the hold of Satan, who takes them captive at his will. So there's not only he as the lieutenant and the director of it all, but he has his host of fallen angels all over the world, and then he has a whole host of others who carry out his desires and carry out his wicked works in this world. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Satan is not. He only has a limited knowledge, although it is a broad knowledge and a knowledge far beyond anything that we have, but it is still limited because he is a created being. Yes, this Satan is wicked and destructive. The scripture tells us, as was read, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, this realm of evil goes into the heavens. It's all around in an unseen way, these demons and these wicked works. And so things come to us that are evil, and we see them just as they were. And it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling just against certain individuals, but no, we're wrestling against a whole sphere of evil that Satan has brought. And so we need to put on the full armor of God that we will be able to resist Satan and his devices. He will keep the unbeliever in darkness. He will keep him in the chains and bondage of sin so that he cannot come to the light and be delivered into the glorious salvation of Jesus Christ. He blinds the eyes, Paul says, of the unbelievers. And then for the Christians, after we come to faith in Christ and we all walk along this journey, God sets his hedge around us. And Satan cannot do whatever he wishes to do with us, but he still does tempt us and distract us and bother us. And it would be his desire to destroy us if he could. And as we look around, sometimes we see that he can have a great sway when we are caught without the armor on of God, without the protection of the Holy Spirit. We lay ourselves open, and he can do very destructive things. I tell you, Satan has a plan for our lives. He would destroy our testimony. He would destroy our families. He would put husband and wife against each other to destroy the marriage and to bring a bad testimony against us as Christians. He would influence our children to separate them from the love of their parents, to rebel against God and rebel against their parents, and cause a disruption in the family. He desires to do that, and he is doing it. And we need to be in prayer, and we need to be armed against him, and we need to be aware of his devices, the scripture says. We need to be aware, and we need to be discerning, men and women, when we see things that are evil, to call them evil and to resist them, and so instruct those in our care that they're evil and to resist them. For Satan will use them to destroy us. Now, how do we fight this enemy? Well, the scripture says that we're to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. The scripture says that we are to stand. We don't have to run from Satan because the battle is won. When Christ died on the cross, he defeated Satan. Ultimately, he is defeated, though he has some course and sway at this time. But he is a defeated foe, and we can stand in Jesus Christ in our position in Christ against and stand against him in our full armor. Now, what is this armor that we have? Verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. Four times the word stand appears there. It means take your stand, be firm, and resist the devil. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The belt of truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And when that person comes to Jesus Christ, he can come and enter into the truth of the Word of God and be enlightened by the Holy Spirit and be instructed by God's people. Brethren, if you don't know the truth, how are you going to recognize the error when it comes? And there's much error and much subtlety out there today, so that agents of Satan will come to you and tell you things. If you are not guarded with the belt of truth, how will you know to defend yourself against that which is in error, especially against one who is so crafty as this one Satan? As Paul gave to the Ephesians, you recall the first three chapters, he instructed them in doctrine, into their position in Christ, and what was theirs because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And then he began to instruct them here in chapter 4 and how to live out this Christian life. But first, they were instructed in the truth. He says to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate speaks of that part of the armor which guards the upper portion of the body. It guards the heart, the chest, the vital organs. And the Roman soldier would have that so that when all the weapons would come against him, he'd push them away. And the scripture says that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He told the Corinthians, Paul did, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. We stand in Christ alone, dressed in his righteousness, and we can stand firmly before Satan. Instead, I stand redeemed in the righteousness of Christ. And you take a firm stand in that righteousness, you can resist that evil one, which on your own you'll never be able to resist. But standing in his righteousness, you can stand, because he was defeated at the cross. You have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, means that your feet will be about doing those things that God would have you to do. Preaching the gospel of peace, bringing this message of peace and reconciliation to others, that they too can know Christ in the forgiveness of sins and be delivered from the power of Satan and into the joy of serving and knowing God. Paul told the Romans, blessed are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, my friends, when your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, your feet are going to be walking and doing those things that are pertaining to the kingdom of God. And if you leave yourself unguarded, I can assure you, there are plenty of places and plenty of things that Satan will have your feet to do. So may your feet be sanctified to do those things that God would have you to do. And then there is the shield of faith, in which you may extinguish all the fiery arrows of the evil one. This speaks of our confidence in God. The faith that was delivered to the saints, the body of truth, was referred to when we spoke about the belt of truth. But here, it's the faith. Faith is the victory. Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So understanding what your position is in Christ and having experienced his guidance, his direction, his taking you through various and sundry circumstances, you stand firm in your faith. And all the darts of Satan will come to you, and by faith you'll stand against them, and you'll resist them. The shield of faith, and I can assure you that many fiery darts will come, but faith is that which will allow you to resist them and turn them back. And finally, it speaks of the helmet of salvation. Now, the helmet is that which is over our head. It protects our mind. In Philippians 4:7, Paul told the believers in Philippi, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep your hearts. That's the breastplate. The Bible says, from out of the heart proceed the issues of life. Sin comes out of the heart, but so does in the love of God, and righteousness comes out of the heart, and so it will be protected by the breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation will protect your mind. And I can assure you that Satan enters and gets a place in our life through the mind. Paul told the believers there in Ephesus, and give no place to the devil. And he goes in various types of things which we're to avoid. The foolish talking, and the bitterness, and the strife, and the envy, and all those things that divide. How do they come in, brethren? But first they come in through the mind. And we have our mind not transformed, as Paul told the Romans, and have your mind not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. We need to have our minds protected. And we have that helmet of salvation, knowing what Jesus Christ has done for us, and walking with him in joyous thanksgiving, and allowing, as Paul said to the Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you have that helmet of salvation on, you resist those things that come to you from Satan that would pollute your mind, to draw you away from the blessedness and the simplicity that is in Christ. And many will come to you with various kinds of intellectual arguments to appeal to your mind. See? Satan appealed to Eve's mind, didn't he? And so much can come in through the mind to draw you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Is not that what happened to the Colossians? And Paul wrote to them to not move away from the simplicity that is in Christ with various arguments and intellectual understandings that were being brought to the Colossians, and they were being drawn away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then it says to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, brethren, this is our weapon, the Word of God. Scripture says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, we need to have God's word in our life, in our heart. We need to know it, and we need to live it. And may I say to you this evening that we need to live under the authority of the Word of God. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, yes, I believe the Bible. And you believe certain truths here. But the question is, do you believe it sufficiently that it is your authority? That it is your final rule in matters of faith and practice? Is thus saith the Lord sufficient for you? It ought to be. It ought to be. That's what God would have us to do. This is His revealed truth. And I think of that encounter that Jesus had as he started out his ministry, and he went out to the desert having fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan came to him and he tempted him. See, there was no one that was out of Satan's reach. He came to Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, and he tempted him. On three occasions there, three statements he made. And did he not even, Satan himself, use the Word of God and quoted it to Jesus right there? But Jesus quoted another one back to him. And how did Jesus put off Satan and resist him? Through the Word of God. With every invitation that Satan brought, Jesus put it away by quoting the Word of God. That's our strength. That's our sword to press away all those evil attacks of the unholy one. Oh, brethren, may we recognize who our enemy is, and may we resist him steadfast in the faith, using the Word of God and using our righteousness in Christ to stand firm against this enemy, rejoicing that the victory has already been won. And that who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us, because Jesus died for us and paid the price on Calvary's cross that we could be redeemed as his special possession, children of God. We're safe in his arms. But remember, brethren, Satan has his angels and his workers of iniquity that would trouble you along this pilgrim way. Resist him by putting the armor on that God has provided for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for that holy armor. We thank you for your word which you have given to us. We thank you, Father, for the very understanding through the Holy Spirit that we can see the devices and wiles of the evil one. And that we can recognize good from evil. That you have given unto us the gift of discernment. O Lord, may we be men and women of discernment. Help us to walk in this vile world as your special people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.